Okay, good afternoon, everybody. This week's Parsha, Parshas Truma, we read about the building, the constructing of the Mishkan. And obviously, the central focus of the Mishkan was the Aron HaKodesh, the Aron HaBris, which housed the Luchos. And in constructing the Aron, the Torah says, V'asisa kapores zahav tahar. When you build the cover for the top of the Aron, it has to be made of pure gold. Amasayim v'chetzi arka, it has to be 2.5 amos, v'ama v'chetzi rachba, and the width has to be 1.5 amos wide. So the Balei Turim points out something which, if you read the Psukim, is quite obvious. But the Balei Turim says, you'll notice that kol midosav, all of the measurements of the Aron in particular, as opposed to many of the other kelim of the Mishkan, hayu shvuros bechatzai amos. They were only partial measurements. Like we just said, it was 2.5 amos long and 1.5 amos wide. And he says, what is the reason, what is the significance why many of the measurements for the Aron HaBris were in half or broken measures as opposed to many of the other kelim? Says the Balei Turim, Lelame, to teach you, Shekol mi shelome Torah, anyone who is involved in the study of Torah, Tzarech l'shaber u'lahashpil es atzmo, he has to make sure that the study of Torah is done without any ego, without any sense of hubris, with humility, and with a tremendous sense of modesty. And this really is what the Medrash writes. Ma ha-gefen hazeh. The Medrash writes that Klal Yisrael's nimshalu le-gefen. We know that the Jewish people are compared to many different things throughout the Psukim in Tanakh. But one of the descriptions that we have is that the Jewish people are considered to be like a vineyard. So what is the connection between a vineyard and Klal Yisrael? Says the Medrash, Yesh ba eshkolos gedolos u'ketanos. There are some clusters in that vineyard that are big clusters and some of them that are smaller. Hagadol mechavero nira ki'ilu namach mechavero. The cluster that is bigger, obviously, is heavier, and therefore is lower down on the vineyard than some of the smaller clusters of grapes. Kach Yisrael, and he says the same is with the Jewish people. Kol mi she'echad mehem yage b'Torah. The more laden than a person is with the study of Torah and the knowledge and the mastery of Torah, the more he has to make sure that he is namach mechavero. The more that person needs to make sure that they also have an exaggerated sense of humility when they deal with the Torah knowledge that they know as well. There's a very famous comment when the Mishnah says, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai u'masara li Yoshua. So the Mefarshim are bothered, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't accept the Torah from Sinai. Sinai was a mountain. It should say, Moshe kibel Torah mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from God, and in turn he gave it to Yoshua ben Nun. What do you mean he got it from Sinai? So Rabbeinu Bechai says, no, it means really that this is a reference to God himself, because the Pasuk says, Hashem mi Sinai ba, vizarach mi Seir lamo. So says Rabbeinu Bechai, it means God, so to speak, came from Sinai, and that is where he gave over the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. That is where he revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu and gave him the Luchos. That is the understanding of Rabbeinu Bechai. However, some other Mefarshim explain that perhaps that is not what it means. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who was most worthy, who was most deserving, who was the most desirable choice candidate to accept the Torah and give it to the Jewish people? It is because Moshe Rabbeinu was anav mikol adam asher al pnei ha'adamah, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all human beings that lived in that generation and in all generations, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest choice of personality to be the one who is the conduit to give the Torah to the Jewish people, as the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sota. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give the Torah on Har Sinai and not on any of the other mountains out in the desert? So the Gemara famously says, because Har Sinai is the one that had a sense of humility as opposed to many of the other mountains that were there that could have been the obvious choice. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Moshe kibel Torah. Why is it that Moshe was worthy and deserving to be the one to accept the Torah? It is because he learned the lesson Mi Sinai. He took the lesson of Sinai itself. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose Sinai? And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose Moshe Rabbeinu? It's the very same reason. And that is perhaps what it means. Moshe kibel Torah, Mi Sinai. There's an amazing medrash where we're told, commenting on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ki Tovim Dodecha Miyayin. It's hard to understand exactly what all of the allegories in Shir HaShirim actually refer to. But if you look in the Midrashim, there are long, long mishalim to try to explain many of the different mishalim that we find there in the psukim. So here, the Medrash goes on a long discussion to explain the comparison between water and Torah. Lama nimshala ha-Torah lamayim. Why is it that in many different places throughout Chazal you find that water is considered in some way to be compared to the Limud HaTorah. Why is that? What's the connection? So the Medrash here gives about 10 different connections between water and Talmud Torah. Number one, says the Medrash, Ma Mayim Chaim Li Olam. Ma Mayim Misofa Olam Yad Sofa. Just like we know water can be found in every place. It's universal. It's wherever you go. Kach Torah Misofa Olam Yad Sofa. So too, the experience of learning Torah is something which is endless, which is immeasurable. It's just so tremendous. It's a body of knowledge that one will never master, just like water. And so too, says the Medrash, Ma Mayim Chaim Li Olam. Just as water is a staple, it's a primary, important, essential value that we need to have in the world to have water, so too we need that Torah should also be something that is of eternal and everlasting nature, otherwise the world cannot exist. Mata ma mayim min hashamayim, just like water comes down from heaven, says the Medrash, so too Torah is min hashamayim. The Torah is reliable, it is authentic, it's authoritative, it's something that's real. God himself gave it. And the Medrash goes on to say so many different examples of how we find that water is considered to be in some way comparable to the experience of learning Torah. But then, perhaps most importantly, and what's relevant to our discussion, the Medrash then says, and the same can be found in the Gemara Maseches Tainis Daf Zayin, Ma Hamayim Meinichim Makam Gavoa, V'Holchim L'Makam Namoch, just like we know that water, based on the rules of gravity, water will go from the highest point, and it will find itself situated in the lowest point of the mountain, in the valley, Ka HaTorah, so too, where will you find the greatest amount of knowledge of Torah? Where will that be? B'misha daito gavoa alav, umedabekes b'misha daito nemucha alav. The Torah will make sure to stay with somebody who has a humble and modest spirit. That is the one who is deserving of being the great Talmud Chacham, the great Torah scholar. And number two, says the Medrash, Ma mayim ein maskimin ela b'kli, b'kli kesev azav. When you serve water at the table, you don't serve it in a gold and silver pitcher. You serve water in a very simple pitcher because water is not so fancy, it's not so elegant. So too he says, Kacha Torah ein miskayemes, ela b'mi she'ose atzmo kikli cheres. So too the Torah will only have a everlasting and enduring nature if a person's character trait is one of being also very simple and very modest and humble. Ma mayim ein adam gadol mizbayish lomar lekatan ashkeni mayim. Just like you come in from a very difficult hot day outside and you need a drink of water, whoever might be closest to the fridge, you're going to ask them, whether it's a younger person or an older person, you're going to ask them, can you please pass me the water? Well, so too says the Medrash, Kach divrei Torah, Ein hagadol mizbayish lomar lekatan lamdeni perek echad. If there's somebody who might be younger than I am, who knows more Torah knowledge than I do, I don't have any reason to be embarrassed to ask them that they should educate me. This is the saying that we would find by water. You would ask anybody to pass you the pitcher of water from the other side of the table. So too, says the Medrash, it should be the same kind of feeling when we come to the study of Torah as well. That this is something that is so critical to what it means to be a Talmud Chacham, to be a person who masters what Torah is all about. I think maybe this is why in the end of the Shemona Esrei every day, we offer a Tefillah Elokai Nitzar. And in it we say, V'nafshi ke'afar lakol tihyeh. We ask that God should give us the ability to have some humility. And immediately after that, what do we say? Psach libi b'sarasecha. The prerequisite, the preamble to a person having an open heart to Torah is if v'nafshi ke'afar lakol tihyeh. If you don't have the ability to be humble enough to accept the Torah, then the Torah is something that will never be able to stick with that individual as well. It is so central, it is so pivotal, and that, writes the Baal HaTurim, is what we learn from the way the construction of the Aron HaKodesh had to be done in this week's Parsha and Parsha's Truma. So one of the great Gedolim in the last few hundred years was obviously Rabbi Kiva Eger. Everybody's heard of Rabbi Kiva Eger. And Rabbi Kiva Eger lived in the end of the 1700s, beginning of the 1800s, was known for his tremendous sense of humility. And it's no wonder, it's no doubt that Rabbi Kiva Eger's tshuvas and his comments on Shulchan Aruch have been studied and are followed to this day because of his tremendous humility and his midos that he had. So there are many stories told, but the Chasam Sofer said the following about his father-in-law, Rabbi Kiva Eger. He said, the Torah actually tells us the characteristic and the attribute of Moshe Rabbeinu. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was anav mikol adam. So he says, if the Ribono Shel Olam says about someone that they are the most humble human being, he says, we have no way of understanding what that even means. It is so extreme. How could it be that God really considers you to be humble? It must be you really understand what humility is. Says the Chasam Sofer, we have no way of really internalizing what that can mean. However, he says, if you look at my father-in-law, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you'll get a glimpse of an understanding of what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was such a humble person, because you look at how Rabbi Akiva Eiger lived his life, and you'll begin to have an image of what it means to be a Talmud Chacham who has tremendous humility. In the Hakdama to the Tshuva Sefer of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he writes that I want that all my tshuvas should be printed, because I think that there's a lot that people can learn from them. However, he says, you have to be very careful when you print it. And he leaves very detailed instructions of exactly how he wanted them to be printed. One of the instructions he leaves, and he wrote this down, was that when you print a tshuva, and it was something that was written in response to one of my talmidim, to one of my students who was living somewhere else, he sent me a letter and I responded to him. He said, when you respond to this talmid, don't write that he is the talmid of Marenu Rabbeinu Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Don't say that he's my student, said Rabbi Akiva Eiger in his humility, because I'm not sure who got more from who. Did I get more from him because he was my Talmud? Or did he perhaps get more from me because I was his Rebbe? And he said, because I'm not so sure about this, therefore I don't think you have a right to address him as being my Talmud, because maybe it's unfair to label him as being such. And I was amazed when you see that Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that was really the way he lived. They have a story in one of the modern Svarim that they have many stories of Gedolim. So they have a story that's written there about Rabbi Akiva Eiger, where there was once something came up in the neighborhood and he had to send a letter to a tailor somewhere in another community to be mazmin him to a din Torah. He said, someone has a claim against you and I'd like you to come before me in the din Torah. I'd like you to present your side in order that we can figure out what's going on. So he sent him a letter and he writes the opening line of the letter to this very simple tailor in the other community. He says, L'chvod, harav, hagoin, acharif, habaki, v'asinai, v'orka, harim. He gives him all of these titles, all of these accolades at the very beginning of the letter. Now the tailor gets his letter in the mail. He happens to be illiterate. He doesn't even know how to read. So he goes to his neighbor. He says, I got a letter in the mail. Maybe he can help me out. Do you know how to read this? And the neighbor looks at it. He says, yeah, it's a letter from the Gadol Hador, from Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He opens it up and he starts laughing. And he says, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is making fun of you. So he says, how could it be Rabbi Akiva Eiger is making fun of me? What did he write? He says, the first line of the letter, he writes all of these accolades that just don't, obviously, are not really addressing you. He's just trying to make a joke out of you. So the man is so angry, he goes to Rabbi Akiva Eiger and he travels to Posen and he says, I don't understand. You send me this letter, you make a fool out of me to my whole community. I brought it to shul the next day. Everybody's looking at it. They're laughing at me. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger looks at him very sincerely and he says, I don't quite understand what the issue is. Do you think I would really try to embarrass you? Do you really think that's what happened? He says, well, why else would you write this? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger brings him into his office and he says, look in my drawer. I have hundreds of letters that people wrote to me. They write the same thing. I assume that's the way you address someone in a letter. When you write a letter, that's what you say at the very beginning. So I wrote the same thing to you. That was the humility of the great Rabbi Akiva Eiger. That's what made him the great tzaddik that he was. And that is really why he was able to do all of the incredible things that he did. I saw the Chidar writes in his Sefer Shema Gedolim. He has many different entries about different Talmidei Chachamim. So he has there an entry about the Beis Yosef. And he says, I'll read it to you. Vada Shekibalti me'adam gadol b'chachma v'yira. Says the Chidar, I have a tradition from a very great tzaddik that at the time that the Shulchan Aruch was being written, at the time that the Beis Yosef was being written and put together, he says there were many great Talmidei Chachamim who were alive in that generation. And he says the three great personalities of that time were Moreno Rabbi Yosef Tai Tatzak, and Rabbi Yosef Karo was the second, and the third was Mahari Ben Lev. These were the three towering figures of the generation. And he said, everybody wondered, why is it that Rabbi Yosef Karo had the great merit of being the one to write the Shulchan Aruch? Why is it that his psukim are the ones that are accepted for all eternity? What was so special about him when there were many other great people of the generation? Writes the Chidah, the answer is, Hiskimu min ha-shamayim. Min ha-shamayim, they agreed that the Chidah in particular should be the one to give over. Why? Mipnei an visanuso ha-yisera. Because of his incredible humility. And that is why the Beis Yosef had the great merit, the great schus of being the one to give us the Shulchan Aruch, to write the Beis Yosef, the Sefer Shemipia Anu Chaim that we've been living off of since the 1500s, writes the Chidah. It is only because of his tremendous sense of humility, and that is so much of what stood behind the psak that he gave. Recently I was talking to my father about a certain psak that Moshe Feinstein had, and there was another Rav who called to be in the discussion. And he said, well, it's a very difficult svar that Rav Moshe says, and really should we follow it? Doesn't make sense. We don't really fully agree with the svar that Rav Moshe Feinstein was mechadesh. So my father, when this other Rav hung up the phone, my father said to me, he said, I always wondered, Why is it that in America we have accepted Rav Moshe Feinstein's psukim more so than any other gadol in America? Why is that? What was so great about Rav Moshe? Is it because Rav Moshe, everything that he said is so clear, is so agreeable? Is it because every svar that Rav Moshe was mechadish we all feel is correct? Or is it because we knew that Rav Moshe Feinstein had such tremendous midos and his anava was so much greater than any other member of his generation, therefore we accept him psukim? My father told me that his feeling is, he said he doesn't know, but he said his feeling is the reason why we accept Rav Moshe's psukim is because of his anava. And you see it clearly in the way that Rav Moshe writes, in the way that he learned, in the way that he led his whole life. And he said that's the reason why we accept his psukim. So therefore, when we have a tshuva in Rav Moshe that we find to be a little difficult, we might accept it anyway. Not if it doesn't make sense to us at all, but if we have a kasha in Rav Moshe, we might accept it anyway, because the reason we originally accepted him was not only because of his lamdas and his great Talmud Chacham status and who he was, the great gadol that he was, but rather because of his tremendous midos and his anava. That's really the personality that Rav Moshe was, and that is the major reason why we have accepted many, many of his psukim. So one of the great gadolim in the 1700s was Rav Shlomo Kluger. So he once had a visitor in the neighborhood, some prominent Talmud Chacham who came, and he noticed that this Talmud Chacham walked into his office with a few henchmen walking next to him. He had a whole entourage walking with him. So he said, "What's this all about? What are these people here for? Do you need help walking?" So the man says, "No." So he says to him, "So why are they with you?" He says, "Well, don't you know, I'm a very noteworthy individual. I'm a very prominent Talmud Chacham, and that's why I always need to walk with other people, because it would be embarrassing if I would walk by myself." So the great Rav Shlomo Kluger, the Rav of the Brod community in Europe, a very famous person, Rav Shlomo Kluger, turned to him and he said, "You know, the Torah says by Avraham Avinu that as he was walking toward the Akeda, it says, Vayikach Shneina Aravito. It says he took a whole entourage together with him. Vayom Ashlishi, on the third day as they're traveling, Vayisa Avram Asenov, and he lifts up his eyes, Vayara Samakom Merachok, and he sees the place where he needed to go. He sees his destination in a distance." Said Rav Shlomo Kluger, maybe it means Hamakom is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He notices that for some reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very distant from him. And he can't figure out why. Why am I so far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why don't I feel his presence? And finally he figures it out, right? So Shlomo Kluger, what does it say? He tells his entourage, Shvu lachem po imachamor, I want you all to stay here. And now I will proceed on my own. And immediately after that, writes the Pasuk, immediately after that happened, Vayavo el hamakom, all of a sudden Avraham Avinu finds himself in the presence of the Shechina. Says Rav Shlomo Kluger, when a person lives life feeling that they're so important, that they're so prominent, that they always need to have an entourage because they're such a noteworthy personality, sometimes you'll notice that from that experience, Vayaras hamakom erachok, you will be very far away, very distant from the Ribono Shel Olam, because the only way to be close to him, like the Gemara says, is if a person, as ani v'daku shval ruach, the only way that a person can have a real meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is if we're willing to have that sense of modesty and humility, like the Torah says in our Parsha. That is why the Aron was constructed with partial measurements, with incomplete measurements, to teach us that is the only way to be zocha, to be a great Talmud Chacham. That is the only way to amass and to master a great knowledge of Torah, if a person is willing to always live life with that kind of perspective, understanding that we are not whole, that we need some humility, some submissiveness, in order to be able to master the great work and the great knowledge that the Torah really represents.